In this political environment, we have to create a way for the people to have a voice. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is a platform that is open to people who want to expand their personal thoughts, issues, and concerns to a larger audience. The host, James T. Deshay, would like you to have an opportunity to co-host with him on very important topics of all kinds. These topics should have value to people across the country and come with a meaningful solution. All co-hosts could be considered for a monthly return date to promote businesses at a low cost that need an outlet. We are seeking to make it easy for entrepreneurs, public organizations, physicians, and others to get important information out to the general public. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Call into the show at 657-383-0309. If you are interested in exploring being a co-host, please email the staff at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com. The show is committed to turning the tides on the normal media platforms while giving a voice to the people. If you would like to be considered for a monthly co-host slot, call 407-394-9819.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and 5 o'clock West Coast Time, and Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and 5:30 West Coast Time. This is a show where your voice is supposed to be heard. We're going to take a short break and we'll come back and allow everyone an opportunity to get on the line. We'll be right back.
Drumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song. Thank you.
James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Guys, we have a multitude of things to talk about today, and I hope that everyone received the videos that I sent out. And the one I want to discuss first and foremost, a video went viral of a 68-year-old woman coming into a teenage party. And when she came into the party, she was going to ask them to turn the music down. And prior to her being able to talk to somebody who was in charge of the party or who could turn the music down, you heard female voices yelling out, dump her in the pool, dump her in the pool. So finally, some young jerk took it upon himself to decide to lift her up, at which time he slipped and her shoulder hit the concrete. Then he proceeded to pick her up again, and she had two dogs. He proceeded to pick her up again and drag her and throw her in the water. And just like it has become normal, someone decided to videotape this and post it on Facebook. So we see the perpetrator, we hear the voices of the girls yelling to bring the thrower in the water. And once she gets thrown into the water, her dogs are running everywhere, afraid, and everyone else takes off running. And we don't see how the woman gets out of the pool. And, you know, we continue to have these types of videos where young people take their freedom at risk. We don't know how much time this young man is going to get in jail. He turned himself in once he found out that the tape had went viral. And so I've been told here locally in Florida that his parents were involved in making him go and go to the police office or police station. So we just want to talk about, we've talked about this a lot, how our young people don't seem to understand the need to stay in control, to behave themselves and to respect minors, recognizing that people do have the right to monitor or request them to lower their music if they feel that it's too loud. And so many of them find it necessary to act in despicable ways. And not knowing, again, this man very well could be up, be charged with manslaughter, had this older woman's head hit that concrete in a terrible fashion. Dee, you were the first on the line today. Did you get an opportunity to see this videotape?
James, no, I didn't. I've used up my gigabytes in that way. But I have been thinking about my response to your question today. And first of all, I want to thank you for opening up the way you did, going back to the live streaming, that, and also mentioning that it went viral, all right? But foremost, I want to say that attempted murder charges should be brought against the person that threw the lady in the water, and also accomplice should be charges should be brought against the people that rooted this on. Okay, now in real time, we have touched upon about the dangers of this live streaming, but I think we neglected to talk about the liabilities that should be placed upon Facebook as well as Google. Because what they have done now, they have taken the advantage of technology and with the new sensation of trying to be first in everything that comes about. You know, last night we were talking about how sex sells. All right, well, the only thing that's a close runner-up to sex selling is sensationalism. And Google and Facebook has made it possible for people to make money on their videos if they go viral by placing ads on said videos. They're called adware. And Google has it where if you can get 10,000 hits on your video, you can start making money. Now it has been said that people are making video full time and making a decent living at it. In that, you're going to have a lot of problems with people doing obnoxious, stupid things for it to go viral in their attempt to make money at it. And I think that's where we are in this day and time.
You know, it's important that we express to Google and to Facebook the kinds of things that we don't want to see, but at the same time, we do want people who are stupid enough to videotape themselves doing a crime to have a place to post it so that they can be arrested. And so my issue is that we need to, as you know, parents, the community, and the boys' club and the churches, we really need to talk to our young people about these despicable behaviors. We need to show them these videos and tell them why these behaviors are both dangerous and embarrassing, because they literally look like they're willing to do anything to draw attention to themselves, and that they don't have no respect whatsoever for anybody. Joyce, what did you get to see the video?
No, I didn't, but it goes to show just what you said. Young people have no respect for no one nowadays, and it doesn't make any sense. But within the last half an hour, I don't know whether or not you know that, but Trump has just fired the FBI director, Comey. So that's unreal. I'm just sitting here watching CNN News. But going back to that, there's no respect for no one. And the young lady who hollered out dumper, you know, that is unreal for a female to even want an elder person to be dumped. You know, that's my age group. You know, if I came over to someone house like that and knocked on the door, that's me. And how, first of all, maybe she didn't know how to swim. That could have been way dangerous than what it turned out to be. So, sure, there should be a lot of arrests, a lot of charges brought against the young man who dumped her and also the people who was hovering her on. And it should be charges if someone brought it to Facebook, whoever responsible for making it go viral, they should be charged as well.
Yeah, it is truly despicable. If you watch the videotape, and I did see what you said in regards to the FBI director being fired, we really need to discuss that in length. But as we're talking about this, it just seems that anytime you get 200 young people together, there needs to be some adult supervision. Now, I don't know how this party came about, who invited all these people but it was not, it did not seem to have any adult supervision whatsoever. Kathy, did you get a chance to see the video?
No, James, I did not get to see it.
None of you are seeing my videos that I sent you. Well, I can tell you that if your mother or aunt or
James, I saw it. James, I saw it.
Can you give everybody an idea of what it is you, what you felt about what you saw?
A lady that was probably a member of the Home Association had received several reports of the music being too loud with an unauthorized pool party. And she wasn't going over necessarily to police it, and she stated that this was not her responsibility to do that. But what she did want, what she went over for was to ask them to turn, you know, turn the music down. And she understand that young people will have parties, and that she wasn't opposed to that. As a matter of fact, she had her two dogs with her. So I think she was going in a manner of just, you know, just please, could you just turn your music down and stuff. The police had been called, and I guess, you know, they just start surrounding her, and then one person, a guy in the red shirt, just came almost out of nowhere, it seemed like, and just took her to the ground and ended up going over into the pool. So it was a situation that did not have to happen. And I guess some of the people start running away and that kind of stuff like that. But, you know, you're right. We have to start telling our young people, you know, it's all right to have fun, but when you see something that's getting out of hand, that's not, speak up so that people won't get in trouble. And now this young man, he did turn himself in, and he said that he messed up, and he take full responsibility. He know that he has to own up to it. But, you know, I regret that he had to even find himself in that situation. I really do.
And, you know, we've talked about young ladies and the role they're supposed to play in our society, but it seems that the women or the young women are egging these boys on to behave in despicable ways. And so it seems like they get together and decide that they want to be evil. And so just like Joyce said, the girl who was there yelling, you know, when you're in a crowd and you're yelling and egging on a riot, you should be as equally responsible as the people who participated. And I really encourage you guys to look at it, because you can't begin to know how ugly the video is by us just sharing it with you. When we saw the lady afterwards, she had a huge bruise on her shoulder where he initially tried to pick her up, and both of them slipped and fell, and she fell and hit her shoulder. Then he proceeded to get up and grab her in a very awkward manner and drag her to the pool and threw himself and her in at the same time. The two dogs just scattered. And when I saw it the first time, I said to myself, if I was a parent of these two people, of this young man, I would take him directly to the police department myself, because I would not stand or tolerate my son to behave in that fashion. I mean, I cannot even begin to know where his head was when you grab or put your hands on an elderly woman. I have two aunts over the age of 80, and I would literally want to hurt someone who violently grabbed my aunt. You know, when you get that age, you cannot be handled any kind of way. And so it was just despicable. And I'm interested to see how the police department is going to handle this young man. Dee?
Thank you, James. I want to touch base on a couple of things. First of all, it doesn't matter, but you didn't mention what race it was, which it doesn't matter. But if it was a black person, if these kids was black, and if the
it was,
and it don't matter. What, okay. Now my point was going to be, when I was growing up, and as a young adult, and we used to have this thing about the solidarity of trying to protect each other. Whereas if you saw another brother or sister doing something wrong, you would try to tell, and you know the police was going to be called, you would go and take it upon yourself that, look, man, y'all need to chill because somebody's going to call the police on y'all. Okay? And we used to take those steps. And that was the mentality that the elderly lady had. She tried to go over there and tell them to calm it down before them white folks showed up, basically. And this is how she was repaid for her act of solidarity. And so, and then to your other point about how the elderly can't be handled any kind of way, you got to know that that lady will not heal properly at her age. She will be sore for the rest of her days. And so in all of that, I would not hesitate not one bit to get my lawyer involved and just run through all of that, even the person that was filming the video, whereas they thought it was funny and thought it was necessary to do that. And instead of trying to help out in all ways that they could, they kind of encouraged the situation to happen the way it did.
And Andre, the elderly woman, seemed to be Hispanic, and she seemed to be well-spoken. She was not overly angry or hostile, but it was just there was audio, so you heard the girl saying, throw her in the pool, but you didn't hear anything from her. That could have been suggested was some racial overtones, and they immediately started surrounding her. And like you said, this boy with the red shirt came from nowhere and literally picked her up and then immediately slipped and fell. And once he slipped and fell, he didn't stop his attack. He continued it, got up, and grabbed her by her leg and an upper body threshold and drug her and threw both of them, himself and her, into the pool. And like someone mentioned, she could have not been able to swim. They didn't know what her background was. Of course, we don't know what the depth of the pool was, but she could have very easily been overcome and extremely excited about the situation and been unable to get herself out of that water. Audrey?
Yes, I agree. Everything you said was correct. And one of the things that impressed me, she seemed to be very physically fit for her age. You're correct in her being very articulate. And I really believe her intention was just as she stated. She didn't go over there for trouble at all. As a matter of fact, I believe she was trying to keep them out of trouble and just, just telling them, I understand you're partying. And she even said, children will party, young people will party and have fun. But the thing of it is, come for respect of neighbors, turn down the music down. But I'm thinking again, she was probably the president or an officer with the home association or something, but it was a lot of children there. And that wasn't a hotel or anything. It wasn't an oversized pool is what I'm saying. But it was a lot
right.
of people there. And I just think they were surely over capacity. And for them to have guests, it was beyond the number of an unofficial scheduled party. You know, because a lot of times when you have pool parties and that kind of stuff like that, depending on the number of people that's going to be in attendance, then you are responsible for having security. And they obviously didn't
and
have that.
And I did not see one adult at all. I didn't see anyone.
No, I didn't either.
To the lady, to protect the lady. I didn't
rescue.
See any adult.
No.
And it just seemed that they were really out of control. And again, this boy could have been charged with manslaughter had this lady lost her life both by hitting her head on that concrete or drowning in that pool. Kathy, you know, you work with young people a lot. You know, how do we need – it looks like to me it is important for all parents when they send their kids to a party to talk to them about what – they feel like they should, how they should carry themselves. You know, when we talk about the need for us to predetermine how we'll behave in a given situation, obviously these kids did not have a plan of action to deal with what was taking place at this party.
Hi, James.
So, what you know, Kathy? How do we train these kids? I mean, how do we get them to protect themselves from themselves?
Well, it this is Limon, Kathy's son. I think
okay.
When it comes to situations like that, where you're in a large setting with a group of young people, I mean, me being a young person as myself, I'm 28. You have to tell your kids to kind of not be peer pressured by the masses or whatever. Cause when, you know, if you don't tell them stuff like that, then all you hear is throw in the pool. And you know, the person who wants to be cool or be that one person who everybody's like, oh yeah, you threw her in the pool, man, you the man, you know, they'll just do it. You know, just to do something, and
right.
I know a lot of people like that. Where if you know you tell them to do something, it's a bunch of people chanting, they'll do it, and they don't know why they're doing it. But in the moment, they're just thinking in their head like, man, I have one moment to be cool. You know, everybody's got the camera out. You know, this is going to be possibly on the internet. You know, people are going to be laughing. That's the problem nowadays. Everything goes to the internet, and everybody's laughing. But this is a situation right here where it's like, there's nothing funny about this. You're assaulting an elderly woman. You could have killed her, and then you could have ended up in jail. I'm pretty sure he's still going to go to jail for that because that's assault. And you know, we just have to tell the kids nowadays that you know, don't try to be like everybody else. Be yourself. Remember where you come from. You know, and that's all I got to say on that.
And at some point, we have to not buy in and embrace the violent activities that exist from fighting. Some kind of way, everybody wants to be the one that is doing something that seems to be so antisocial. Joyce, I know you always have a lot to say about, you know, how the kids seem to be just off the chain, so to speak. And I definitely, when you see this video, you will know that there was no one there that was acting like they were in control.
Well, you know, the way that I look at it as a young person, even, you know, you should know how to act. We didn't act that way. And even some of the young kids, and you said in the video, some start leaving in the whole bit. It doesn't make any sense, but I think what goes on is with the videos being going viral, one, somebody always want to have one up on the other person, but they don't know what the consequences are. Now, look at this guy. He regretted later. So, therefore, our teenagers and our young people need to start thinking before you act. That should be your slogan. What if?
If I do this, what are my consequences? They need to know this going in to the situation. But it seemed like to me they reacting and then they thinking about what they did later and they look like a fool. So we got to talk to our young people and let them know that for every action, there's a reaction. So whether or not that comes out to be a good, positive reaction, you need to think twice before you step out there and put yourself out on the line. Because, yeah, just for a laugh, that laugh's going to cost you. It's going to give you a record, and you may go to jail. Now, like this other gentleman said, it could have been a death. If her head would have hit the wrong way, and when we're talking about cement, you're done. And that could have been like, it could have been crucial. So, yes, now he want to man up and saying that he was wrong. Yeah, you was wrong from Jump Street. The moment he slipped, to him, it should have been an indication that, wait a minute, I've gone a little too far. And I'm not knowing what this lady's saying, but I'm assuming she's screaming and telling him, no, don't do that or whatever. You know, we got to think. And he better be glad that it wasn't me and my dog. Because my dog would have ate his ass up.
All right. We're going to take a break and we'll come right back. Sharing this story with you because I want you to see how something simple can so quickly get out of hand. So I'm going to share it with you related to this incident because I think there's a parallel. You know that I've taught at school for over 30 years, and one of the stories that stick in my head the most is that a young man and a young lady were horse playing around, and the young man took the young lady's purse. And instead of her going to one of the administrators or to a teacher to inform them that the young man had took her purse, she called her brother, who was over the age of 18 and wasn't going to school there. And her brother brought another guy with him to pick up his sister and confront this high school student. And so once they found the high school student and confronted him, they exchanged words. And the boy that was not even the brother slugged the young man, and he fell backwards and hit his head on the curb and died. So now what you have is two young men come out to the school to confront somebody about a purse that could have easily been done by the administration, and a young man lost his life. And I don't believe that the young man who hit him intended for him to die, but the point is, once you hit somebody or you pick somebody up or you throw somebody, you have no idea how that person is going to fall, how that person is going to land, or what is going to be the result of your action. So anytime you take a violent action regarding someone, it does not have to turn out to be in your best interest. And so we need to be talking to our young people to explain them how fast and how quickly something simple can turn out of control. How do we get them to understand that in a blink of an eye, you can do something and you become a criminal?
Well, James, I would actually like to ask the new caller, if they do they have classes in school when he was in high school to try to deter such behavior? When we was in school, I had humanities and I had social science, and all of that would kind of prepare us for the world going forward in the way we should act when we interact with other people. And it seems as though that those type of classes are not even part of the curriculum. And I was wondering if he can tell me, because you all know how we are, in today's time, are there classes like that? Are they mandatory? Is that something that a student has to choose if he's interested in doing so? I'd like to know the answer to that myself.
Kathy, that was your 28-year-old son that shared that information with us. Is he still available? Well, let me tell you one thing that I know. When I spent 10 years at the jail, and the jail used to have a course when inmates were about to be released. They had a course to help them reassimilate into society, and it dealt with some of the things that they needed to do in order to try to find a job, try to change their mental thinking. But I don't think that is something that they have at at the school as a normal part of the curriculum. But certainly young people have to learn how dangerous, out of control behavior can be, so that they don't risk their freedom being taken for any long period of time. Andre, you work with a lot of youth groups and through your church. Do you ever mentor one-on-one about correct behavior?
Yes, and I think it's an important role that we have to play as members of the church. And what we have done is identified young people and matched them with an adult that's not a family member. And so we serve as mentors for them. And, you know, that may be a little formal, but you could surely be informal and just identify someone and take them under your wings and help them out. And I don't know if Kathy's still on or not, but Kathy, well done with your son. He's very articulate. I want to say thank you to him for coming and giving us that perspective. You know, that's a blessing of that legacy that you have that's going on. But he definitely has the right point of view, and I'm so glad to see that he listened to his parents, and now he's acting accordingly and in a position such that he can not only help young people but help us to help young people.
Well, you know, we're going to have to use these same videos and in a controlled environment and express to children what they're doing wrong so that they don't become, you know, they don't find themselves locked up because they can't control their behavior. You know, one of the things is that we don't have the freedom, or we can't take advantage of allowing ourselves to be out of control. And I don't even care. My thing is, as long as you don't put your hand on me, I don't want to even respond to the N-word. You know, I am not going to allow the N-word to enrage me to the point where I'm going to physically attack somebody. You know, I mean, I just, you know, when people call you something that you know you're not, you have to be strong enough to just dismiss the person who's calling you that. And I don't care who it is. I don't care what age you are. I don't care who's doing it. I don't care if it's an older white man, a young white man, or whoever it is. We cannot allow ourselves to lose control over a word. We cannot allow ourselves to lose control because someone is a racist. Because that situation does not have to turn out in our best interest. Joyce, your thoughts? I mean, can we allow ourselves to continue to be enraged by white people saying words or acting in certain ways as long as they're not putting their hands on us?
No, not at all, because what they used to and what they know for a true fact is that they think that blacks can be easily provoked. And a lot of times they say things to you and say things about you to get a reaction. And most of the time what they're asking for is a negative reaction, whereas they want you to harm them in some way so they can turn around and do damage to you. So we have to make sure that whatever is being said, you know, you have to keep your composure and deal with them in a different way. Because more than likely they want a reaction from you, because in one of our segments previously they indicated on film that that's how we are rage. You know, we're violent people. So that came from a police officer, a white police officer, as to how they see blacks. So now we know how they perceive us. So let us not let them provoke us in a negative way.
And people don't seem to understand the law is not on your side. You can't go to a courtroom and say, well, I knocked that person out because they called me the N-word. And, you know, that's not a justification to get physical because somebody used a word that you don't particularly like. How do we convince these people? You know, you can't just take liberties like that just because somebody used a term that has a history for you that you're going to just lash out and act in a violent way.
James, I want to tell you that when I first came to your show, I was on this personal crusade to try to find ways to keep our young people from falling through the cracks again, like some of us did. And I want to tell you that in this day and time, I'm kind of proud to say that I am computer savvy, and I want to turn you all onto a program that we can use. Now, when I say we can use, I think it's real important that we start to change the script, flip the script on how we can create ways to interact with our young folks. And this program is called, and it's free, it's called YouTube Downloader. And what you do is you go to YouTube and you pull up a certain video, like all the police brutalities and or the incidents where the police stops or anything that went viral. You click the address, and you highlight the address, and you hit copy, and you drop it into YouTube Downloader. And when you implement this on your computer, it makes its own folder. My idea is that we take these videos and get our children around them, and around a television set, and we click on the actual video and we stop it and pause it and ask them what should have been done differently right here or what would you do, and then let them go ahead and express themselves. And us being the adult will help them to understand the things that they should and should not do, because it's a lot of things in life that they don't understand. They don't understand misdemeanor laws. They don't even know what a tort is, or they don't even understand the fact that somebody said, "I'm gonna kick your butt." Then that's an assault in the way of a threat right there. And so
right.
They don't understand simple law. So I think that, you know, the schools are not doing it. So again, to make sure that our kids don't fall through the cracks again, we should take all the vehicles and technology necessary and help our children to understand what it is that they're getting into.
And they seem to, Andre, they seem to be so easily provoked and so willing to accept violence as the mechanism to display their feelings and their frustrations, not knowing that there are laws that govern violent behavior.
Yes, you're right. And Dee, let me just say, what an excellent idea. I really like that, because you're combining technology and you're reaching back to the same process that Marcus Garvey and Martin Luther King and Malcolm X utilized. Because if you remember, before they start marching, they went over scenarios, they role played. Now they're going to spit on you, they're going to call you this, they're going to push you. And you're exactly right. Joyce said it best, that we cannot be provoked. Don't let them provoke us like that. But if we don't take the time to train them and explain to them, they don't know anything any different. And a lot of times people don't understand how to handle and respond to frustration and anger and all, and that's where we can help. But Dee, I think that's an excellent idea. I like the fact of utilizing the technology and pausing it and then saying, you know, how would you respond or what could have been done differently? Because that's part of how we conduct our training, even with our employees. You know, we take pictures or videos while they're in action, and then at the end of the day, you come back in, and it's not about I got you that you're wrong, but it's about letting the whole class experience at one time in this particular situation what was done correct, what was the correct process, and what was done incorrectly, so that when they're out there working by themselves, it may not be the exact same scenario, but that thought process would now go back to that issue and have them to, you know, work safely and efficiently.
Yeah, and we always have to remember, I know my coaches used to always tell me that you don't fight on the football field and on the basketball court, because the person who always get caught is the second person that swings. And so, you know, you just have to know that becoming violent is never in your best interest. And putting your hands, you know, they used to tell you, you know, don't put your hands on each other. If you keep your hands to yourself, then there's no way to fight, because everybody keeping their hands to themselves. And don't allow your friends to egg you on. You know, I remember back in my day, you talk about being back, and we used to have the saying, the baddest one slapped my hand. And they would use that to provoke a fight. Now, if somebody slapped somebody's hand, and then you slapped the other person, and that meant that that person hit you. You know what I'm saying? You can't let other people provoke you to being in a fight so you be the dummy in fighting and getting arrested and getting suspended from school. You know?
That or either you put a stick on their shoulder and whoever knock it off,
yeah,
then that's how the fight started.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just ridiculous that we seem to not be able to curtail behavior. And again, I'm going to tell you, I blame it on the adults, because I don't believe that my son or daughter, if they were 15 or 16 or so, I would have asked some questions about that party. You know, who's going to be supervising the party? Who extended the invitation? How did y'all get the right to go to this community and use their pool? You know what I mean? So it, obviously with 200 and some young people, there should have been some adults posted up to give some aid to controlling that situation. Young people should not have been on their own in that kind of environment. Anything could have happened. Some of those girls could have got raped. Any kind of thing could have happened in that environment with all those boys and girls and no adult supervision around. Joy?
That's true. And not only that, we got to teach our kids when to walk away, when to observe a situation, an environment, to know when it's a healthy environment to remain in, know when to say, oh, okay, this is not for me, man. I got to check you later. You know, I'm out, you know. I'll touch bases with you tomorrow. We got to teach our kids when to remain. Know what that situation is. Always be aware of your environment. And when it's not healthy, you need to back up. And it's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I got something going and I'll check you later. We got to teach our kids to know that and not be afraid to stand up and leave a situation when you know it's not going to end up correct. Anytime you see 200 kids in an unsupervised environment, that spells trouble automatically. Once you go there, you know what the environment is looking like. You know that it's totally too many people. That's not for you. What's the worst that can happen? What's the best that can happen? You know, it's not a good environment,
Audrey,
so we have to teach them
you.
Here.
Audrey, I have to tell you, because you were someone who looked at the actual video, I think it was a positive thing that she came first, because I think I heard her say that she called the police. And had the police arrived, I think it would have been much worse. And I'm saying that much worse for those students, because some of them would have went to jail because they wouldn't have known how to control themselves.
Yes, you're correct. I heard the same thing, if I'm not mistaken, that she did let them know that she had called the police. And that's the reason why she was going there first to get in front of them, to get in front of the police. And if they would have just calmed it down, you know. So, yes, you're exactly right.
Yeah, it is a terrible thing. Kathy, are you there?
Kathy, are you with
me? Yes, I'm here.
Kathy, your son is very articulate, man. Job well done. And that's one that we are proud of and will represent us as our legacy continues. So well done.
Amen. Thank you so much.
And Kathy, we got to get you. I have to put Kathy on blast because I'm not sure if it was Kathy or who it was. But I happened to be up very early in the morning, and you know, guys, I have to remember I'm the one that's retired, but Joyce is retired too. But maybe they're not up as early as I'm up some nights. And I was, I guess, 3 or 4 in the morning sending these videos, and somebody let me know that it was 1 or 2 in the morning in California. So I want to say that I'm sorry, and I'll try to wait until the sun is up in California before I send out the video.
I
would have loved for
I'm glad you said California because I thought my wife had done that.
I think it was your wife, but it was early in the morning because I didn't respond. I looked, I was like, who in the what? And then I put the phone down. This is James.
But I do want you, Kathy, there are several videos that I sent, and I want you all to look at all of them. One was the video of Spirit Airlines. And the reason why we need to talk about Spirit Airlines is because Spirit Airlines is having some difficulty with their pilots association, and they had to cancel some flights. But when the police came to the airline, the only people I saw fighting and fussing, I have to say it, was African Americans. And so, you know, again, we need to evaluate what we're going to do in certain situations so that we don't get so upset and bent out of shape. Now, I don't know who ended up going to jail, but all I saw was black females fighting at the Spirit Airlines, and it was on the network television, so you might see it tonight. Joyce, I think I sent the video related to the young man that was shooting in Arizona who killed 9 people, and he was captured yesterday or the day before.
Yes, I'm so glad that I think that went nationally too, by the way. He had the whole community in shock in that particular area. He was just coming up when it was dusk, just shooting people for no reason, not knowing who he was shooting. Hopefully they get to the bottom of what really was his issue. But someone turned him in. They will be getting the reward money. And I'm just so glad that, like I say, that's what people need to do, start speaking up. You know that there's a criminal in your area, and you know that they have broken the law. Silent witness, use the numbers, and that person, they will not give that person's name out who will be receiving and who actually turned that person in. So I am so grateful that he's off the street.
Well, all these videos were showing what I thought was despicable behavior. And we needed to just talk about what's going on in both the pool situation and the Spirit Airlines situation where in Florida. And it just seems that, you know, we are not thinking things through before we act. And certainly, though it may be inconvenient to have an airline cancel a flight, you cannot be out there throwing punches at people and acting all out of hand. And I have to tell you, I saw another video. I didn't get to send this video, and I'll try to look for it. I don't know what happened to this African-American female, but she was walking around the airport with not a stitch of clothes on but some sandals and twerking and carrying on until the police came. And I don't know what her problem was. And she was just going around pointing to people and telling them what she wanted to do to them. And somebody had literally either gave her some drugs or I'm not sure. Have any of y'all saw that video?
I've seen that behavior before. Have you all ever heard of the drug bath salt or Flocka? Have y'all ever heard of that drug?
I've heard of bath salt.
No, I have not. I have not heard of either, and I did not see the film.
Y'all need to look that up on YouTube. It's very important that you look that up. This is a new drug that's going around, and it really takes you out of your mind, and it makes you cannibalistic. It actually makes you want to eat folk, for real, though.
Yeah,
can
you
call
bath salt?
What is it
called? Happened down in Miami where a police officer came up on a guy who had killed a taxi driver or somebody, and he was literally eating the man's face off. It happened down in Miami. So that drug is going around. And there's some people.
Dee, would you say the name and spell it for us, please? I thank you for educating us who's not involved with that, keeping us in the know. So would you pronounce it and then spell it for us, please?
It's bath salt. Bath salt. B-A-T-H-S-A-L-T. Bath salt. Or the other name for it is Flock, and it's spelled F-L-A-K-A. Again, it's F-L-A-K-A. Very dangerous, very dangerous. And James, that is one of the cases where when they got to the cab driver, he was actually eating the man's face off.
This is a loud statement.
And so this is something that, these are the things that our young children are volatile to, especially girls. These boys, these grown men would give girls anything to get what they want these days. I've come across the knowledge of grown men are hunting 14-year-old girls like it's a sport. And so we should actually intercept all of this so we can prepare our children for this new world, and that's exactly what.
And a lot of these things are being sold in these neighborhood stores, the ones that are not the mainstream stores like Racetrack and 7-Eleven and those kind, but these neighborhood stores where they're owned by individual owners, and so these kids are getting access to these drugs that are just sending them over the top. And like I said,
yeah, but please note which neighborhoods they're in. Please note which neighborhood stores are selling what you're referencing. It's not all neighborhoods.
That's true.
Right. And we have to be mindful of that and turn these little stores in, or these store owners in, who are participating and these illegal activities. All right, we're going to take our last break, and we'll come back and have our final word.
A fool will lose tomorrow, reaching back for yesterday. I won't turn my head in sorrow if you should go away. I'll stand here and remember just how good it's been. And I know I'll never love this way again.
I am this woman. I am this woman that has set the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness. My own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men, while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth,
igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.
Joyce, what is your final word for today?
My final word is that we got to know when to stay in a situation and when to walk away from a situation. We just going to have to be more observant, teach our young people as to how to assess a situation and when it gets out of control, how they need to exit.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a better job of giving our young people the proper information that they need to govern themselves. And to, you know, it just hurts my heart every time I see a video of our kids out there misbehaving and putting their freedom at risk. And we just have to come together as they talk about a village raising a child and teach children the appropriate way to act. There's a way to have fun without always doing things that are going to endanger yourself and others. Kathy, y'all, your final word for today?
Processing the information that's being spoken into the atmosphere will do us justice as a people before we react to a situation. So if that young man would have actually processed the information instead of just reacting to what he was hearing, he would not be in that situation, nor would we be talking about this incident.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a better job with our young men, and we're going to have to add to that our young women, because they were the ones who were instigating it this time. I mean, I really want you to go see that video of Joyce and Kathy so that you can see how the girls were egging it on. They weren't going to throw her in the pool, but they were going to find some boys who were stupid enough to grab this older woman. And I'm just saying, this woman was 68 years old. Now, why in the world would you think it would be the right thing to do to grab an old woman like that and throw her anywhere?
I did watch it with my son. That's why he was able to speak on it, James.
Okay. Yeah, it was ridiculous. I mean, I would have no mercy for him if I saw that video and I was on the jury, because that woman was just, you know, when you're 68 years old, the last thing you need to be done to you is to be grabbing you and forcefully throwing you anywhere. And that was just terrible. All right, we want to appreciate you all for being here today, and we'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday, at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time, as we talk about the things that impact our world now and in the future. Take care, everybody, and I'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m.
People, get ready. There's a train coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket, you just think alone. So people, get ready for the train to join us. Those love the most. There ain't no room for the hopeless sinner who would hurt all mankind just to save his own. Against the kingdom throne. You know there's no hiding place. There's no hiding place. So people, get ready. There's a train of coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on. All you need is to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord. People get ready. People get ready now.
In this political environment, we have to create a way for the people to have a voice. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is a platform that is open to people who want to expand their personal thoughts, issues, and concerns to a larger audience. The host, James T. Deshay, would like you to have an opportunity to co-host with him on very important topics of all kinds. These topics should have value to people across the country and come with a meaningful solution. All co-hosts could be considered for a monthly return date to promote businesses at a low cost that need an outlet. We are seeking to make it easy for entrepreneurs, public organizations, physicians, and others to get important information out to the general public. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Call into the show at 657-383-0309. If you are interested in exploring being a co-host, please email the staff at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com. The show is committed to turning the tides on the normal media platforms while giving a voice to the people. If you would like to be considered for a monthly co-host slot, call 407-394-9819.